crowd here just saw him miss that first one. Here comes the second by Embiid now. It's on the way. And he missed again. And the rebound taken by Kevin Huerter in the Hawks call time. The great Joel Embiid, folks, just missed two free throws. And the Atlanta Hawks have the ball with 10.2 remaining. And they're about to take a 3-2 lead in this series.
We were up. We had it. I think we just gave it to them. We got too comfortable and didn't play the way we should be playing. Didn't move the ball as much in the second half. Didn't get as many easy shots. And then defensively, too many lapses where we didn't communicate.
That is unbelievable. Come in and that falls under choke job right there. It really does. Atlanta on the road in Philadelphia comes back from 26 points down with a 40-point fourth quarter. Could not make it up. And by the way, it's a lot more than Joel Embiid missing those free throws at the end of the game, which would have made it a one-point game. Ben Simmons. Doc's been protecting the hell out of Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons was 4-for-14 on free throws last night. Now they got Hack-a-Ben.
Of course, why not? It's a good strategy.
I don't know what it sounds like. Hack-a-Ben. Man, that's we had Hack-a-Shack. Now it's Hack-a-Ben. And we'd be doing that to a guard?
No. I was going to bring that up.
They're going to have to take him out of games now.
Right. But like we saw it with Shaq. We saw it with big guys. It happens. And all of a sudden, the guard, the max extension guard for this Philadelphia 76ers team might not be able to be on the court with a couple minutes left in these games because that's what it's going to end up being. It's going to be the Hack-a-Ben. We talk about percentages all the time. Do you know what the percentage for the 76ers to win the game with 4 minutes and 23 seconds left were from one of these websites?
98%.
97.5.
Yeah. It was double digit. It was double digit, and they don't make free throws. And, you know, you come down, you purposely foul a guy. He misses the free throws, and it stops the clock. You get the ball back, you're right down and score, and Atlanta started to get their confidence when they were down and out. Hell, they were icing up Trae Young like the game was over.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he looked like he was done, and his team comes back. I'm not taking shots at the guy, but we're icing up the shoulder, and then he comes back, and he's making shots. So, anyway, it was
– the NBA needs to be genuinely concerned about the product that they're putting out right now. I mean, that game was one of the worst games, and I took the Hawks last night, so it was fine because I think the Sixers are pathetic. But to have a guy like Ben Simmons, who, like Zach said, is not Shaq, he's not a 7-foot center, and you're guarding this guy like he's the 10th guy picked in a rec league game.
Right.
I mean, to go, you're standing in the paint guarding this guy, daring him to shoot from anywhere on the floor.
Playing off.
You're hacking him to go to the line. You can't even keep him in at the. This is so bad for basketball to have this low of skilled players.
Well, I just say this: forget the league. How about an individual? Whatever you do in the offseason.
It's embarrassing.
How about work on your weaknesses?
No pride, man.
How about, I don't care who you date or what you drive, or you got a right to spend your money and the hundreds of millions of dollars you make, but have a little friggin' pride to go out. So it's embarrassing.
You know what he's shooting in the playoffs from the free throw line?
He's 12 of 39 in this series.
22 of 66 in the playoffs. Like, I'm not even trying to make that number up. He's shooting 33% and has shot 66 free throws in the playoffs so far. They're lucky that they're this far in.
Well, you can imagine now.
The best tweet I saw last night is that calling him a glorified role player, and that's exactly what he is. He is not a star. He's not even a good player. He's a glorified role player. Well, I wouldn't even put him in the category of good.
Well, forget the three-point shooting because he doesn't even try. I give him credit for one thing.
Yeah, at least Giannis. Yeah, right.
He gets close to that three-point line, and you see Ben just go, "Come over here and take this pass, please, and shoot it." But the free throw shooting, there's just no excuse that you're not a better free throw shooter than that. And I understand the playoffs a little more pressure and all that stuff. Anyway, and then the other problem. Not to hit you with problems because we got a lot of stuff to get to, including a lot of football news this morning to get to. So we got all these injuries with all these stars. Embiid's playing. He's got an MCL problem. Kyrie Irving sprained ankle. Kawhi Leonard looks like could have an ACL, could be out, even though what a win for Paul George last night.
Huge,
the Clippers,
right.
To go to Utah and somehow win that game. But then all the other guys, not to mention the Lakers' top two guys and all these injuries. And then LeBron comes out and talks about, like, hey, man, we're a wiped-out league. since we started with this protocol and got out of whack here. So now, think about this. This season's going to end. We haven't gotten to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals yet. So we're looking at going in there midway through July or early July before this seven-game series is going to be over. They're going to open camps. They've already come out, and they're going to open camps late September.
Right, back to normal. Right.
Start playing games October 19th. And they're going from 72 to 82 games. The league complained about back-to-back games, so tried to cut back on those because they thought that. We got national TV complaining too many stars are either resting when you play and it's hurting ratings and we're paying a lot of money. We're not getting our money's worth because the ratings aren't there what they need to be because people want to see the stars.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is, man, but I know one thing. You can't have it both ways. You can't make your salary if you keep wanting to cut back on games. And if 82 is too much, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take those 10 games and we'll deduct that from your pay and we'll go from there because now all of a sudden this has become an issue. Now listen, I agree. For the teams that have great seasons that go on and play in the finals, whether you win or lose, you're playing a seven-game series or six-game series, whatever it's going to look like. And next thing you know, you look and go, hey, enjoy your 60 days. And you're like, for sports, for playing that sport, that's a lot of basketball.
Yep, it
is a lot of basketball. Right. By the time you go through the playoffs, regular season, try to come into camp in shape because you got to be in shape when you get there, especially if you got nothing against Pat Riley, but he's big on his conditioning and body fat, so you can't. It's not like the old days where you show up to camp to get in shape for the regular season. Those days are done. So I don't know what the answer is.
The answer is pretty simple. I think you said it. Give back some of the money and play less games.
Oh, there's going to be a ton of load management next year.
Well, someone's got to figure out a way to pay Ben Simmons $177 million. So we've got to play a whole lot of games to pay that bum.
TNT and ESPN / ABC are going to go, all right, so we're going to play less games here. Can you write us a check back or we'll just deduct what we owe you next year? And looks like we'll take 10 or 12% or off the games you want to play. Just let us know whatever the amount is so we can adjust our schedule. But you can't have it both ways when you're making all this money. And then the other thing is, and I was glad to see Jimmy Butler bagged out of the Olympics. How do you expect those guys to play in the Olympics?
Right.
A veteran guy, a big name guy that you'd love to have, when all the older players and the guys that have really been the stars of the league are basically all banged up. I'm not saying they're all getting surgeries, but they're all banged up. Why would any of them? Why would the Jimmy Butlers of the world play? Honestly, I don't want Bam Adebayo to play if they want him.
I wouldn't want my guys playing in the Olympics right now.
I'm just going to tell you, hey, man.
Well, someone's got to play. We don't want to go up there and lose either, man.
No, I know that, but think
that's
about
even more embarrassing.
If you're the owner of the Jazz right now or the Hawks or any of these teams, you want Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young or any of these guys that are still playing right now go and play in 2 or 3 weeks?
No,
or 4 weeks?
But that would be a problem because those would be the guys that want to.
Right, these are the young
guys. What are
you going
to do,
right?
Send the Sacramento Kings up there?
I mean, you might have
team?
To. You might have to. What's the guy, Robbie Hummel? Can you get out of the
three? It would be nice to win in the Olympics. It's very embarrassing to lose.
Without joking around, but why don't you take the worst teams that don't make the playoffs, best players,
and take the all-star teams from that, right?
Take the young guys.
They wouldn't win in the Olympics. That team would lose.
16 teams made the playoffs. You're telling me that the 14 teams left, you can't make an all-star team to go to the Olympics and win?
Well, Steph Curry's not going over, though. Is Steph Curry playing in the Olympics? I don't think he would play.
No, probably not.
Why would Steph Curry, 33 years old, want to go get in shape again and come after the long season? And by the way, played a lot because he got going there and wanted to win a scoring championship and get in the playoffs and those things. Anyway, it's a pretty interesting little problem the NBA has. I know we've been picking on the MLB.
LeBron should stop complaining, though, while he's sitting at home, though.
He saw this
and
coming.
I love LeBron, but he's got to stop, man. Like, the Kawhi injury was a freak thing. He got bumped.
You got to admit, we're seeing a lot of injuries.
Yeah, there's a lot of injuries, but like in the Kyrie injury, like he lands on a foot. It's not because he was fatigued. I mean, it's just like LeBron needs to back off a little bit. I mean, he's making an absolute fortune.
We had a lot of guys. I'd love to know the amount of guys that missed 15-plus games this year.
The percentage got to be high.
There was a lot, including all big three guys. I'm guessing all the three guys for different reasons for Brooklyn.
Except for Joker.
Kyrie.
He played in all 72, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's why nobody, by the way, nobody should be bitching about him winning that MVP. If it's for the regular season, he should have got it.
All right.
Now you could say Joel Embiid, who missed a lot of games, but he deserved it. I don't have a problem with it.
What did you say? There were 72 regular season games. He missed 21 games. Joel Embiid.
Yeah. So anyway, so basketball's got to get some things worked out. Those guys aren't happy. By the way, we might as well just call it a bitching show today because some of the pitchers are coming out going, hey, by the way, before you decide to go cold turkey on this baseball, might as well let you know we all use something to grip the ball. We all do. It's been going on a long time in case you guys – and by the way, you don't think baseball knows this has been going on a long time?
Of course they do.
They got former Major League Baseball guys in the front office of Major League Baseball. You think those guys don't know that they've been putting stuff on these baseballs going back before any of us, including me, were alive, and putting stuff to get a better grip, helping pitch better. So now these guys are going cold turkey. I don't know if it affects their arm or not. I know we heard Tampa Bay's one of their best pitcher, who's now injured, coming out saying, you just can't do that. You went cold turkey on us. I mean, and it, by the way, he goes, not even because of batting practice we're going to be throwing because the ball doesn't break. But the other problem is going to be we're used to gripping a ball a certain way with this stuff, and now we don't have it.
Right.
So I don't know how much it affects it. He claims that's what blew his arm out and the problems, and we've already seen since they're cracking down on these guys, and baseball's getting ready to do it. It's just, it is really weird that MLB goes cold turkey instead of giving them certain things that they can get a better grip on the ball without
worrying
about the offensive numbers of strikeouts and batting averages going down. These things should all have been talked about before the season started.
Well, yeah, and Glasnow from the Rays came out. I don't know if you watched his rant. He had like a 4-minute rant yesterday, but he was talking about how he uses sunscreen and rosin just so he can get a grip on the ball.
He came out with his combination.
Yeah, and he blew out his elbow because they said he might need Tommy John because he went cold turkey, like he said, and had no grip on the ball. He actually had one of his best starts of the year with the cold turkey, but then he went out and couldn't play in his next game.
Said he's never felt like that after he threw whatever amount of pitches it was in the game.
Why not just do this in the offseason, right? And try to fix it.
He just says this league, like, okay, you guys, you can't use anything on the ball. And they're like, and I'm glad to hear Al Leiter, of all people, I said this like a third straight day. Al Leiter came out and said, hey, man, Al was a little wild. Al was like, I better have a little grip. Because I throw it 96, 97 miles an hour, 95, whatever. I used to throw pretty hard. Somebody's going to get hit in the head.
Right. That's the last thing that MLB
I got a slick ball, and I can't do anything, and everybody's watching me. There are going to be some more injuries. There are going to be some guys, some baseballs are going to get away and hit some guys up top where everybody, you know, is scared to death of. No, I've never met a hitter yet that. Their one fear everybody has getting hit in the head.
Right in the head, side of the face, right. That's Giancarlo.
So anyway, we got all that stuff. By the way, the Marlins last night, my God. We're going to start doing I'm sorry to starting pitchers. Sandy Alcantara, I'm sorry. 8 1/3 innings on his way to complete game. Finally gives up a run in the bottom of the ninth and ends up being a 1-0 ball game on another walk-off. But he was – can't be any better than that. He 8 1/3 innings. They kept him in there. Thought he was throwing 100 miles an hour, by the way, in the last inning. Just great stuff. They end up losing in St. Louis.
Jeez.
1-0, 2-1, and 4-2. They scored 3 runs in that series. You're not going to win any games when you score 3 runs.
Felt like just yesterday we're talking about this team being just about at 500 and being right in the mix there.
Yeah, now they're 10 down and in last place and 10 back and all the problems they're having that need to get fixed. We got a lot of stuff. Did not get to the Tua stuff on purpose. We got X-Man update to get to as well on what might be happening. But I hate to say this to you. I only got to see the 1-on-1 and 7-on-7. before the lightning and thunder came yesterday.
Great Davey weather again yesterday.
Yeah. He looked real good throwing the ball, man.
Oh!
Dropping takeoffs.
We're back.
And corner routes. And now there's, again, I said 7-7 and 1-on-1. There was, you know, nothing live and stuff. But he looked really good throwing the ball before the lightning got him off that field yesterday. That ended the day. So it was an early and quick practice. I didn't get, was not allowed to go inside because of different tiers of protocol.
What tier are you? You're the last tier?
I'm tier, what?
You're on a need to know tier.
Right.
Yeah, I got.
Just give Joe the notes.
I got the tier as.
Yeah, tears coming from your eyes.
Yeah, I had tears like, leave now, please. Whatever that tier is, like, right. You need to go. Right. Praxis is over. And we got lightning. And we need you to leave the
you
facility.
You two are okay to go in the bubble. The rest of you guys get out of here.
I got that. I got
that's what tier you're in.
Wasn't real good. Yeah. By the way, Mark Clayton is going to join us. One of the great wide receivers of all time with the Miami Dolphins. Part of the Marx Brothers. Just a sensational career. Recently at age 60 now, wondering if his name, why hasn't popped up for Hall of Fame consideration. We're going to talk to Mark Clayton about all that stuff and some unbelievable stories for you coming up with one of the best ever play in a Miami Dolphins uniform. That's coming up next. Hey, welcome back and good morning. Hope everybody enjoyed our boy Mark Clayton. God, is he entertaining.
He's awesome.
He's got so many good stories, but they're obviously you can't use on the radio, but he's got unbelievable stuff that he's been through and done and been part of that are just unbelievable.
Legendary stories.
Yeah, and that's all I can say.
Right.
Unbelievable. Plus his confidence as a player. I mean, it was just off the charts.
Well, just the one he threw out there with Ditka and you know, God, I'm having a brain fart
Ryan.
Now. I just heard Buddy Ryan. I mean, that's good enough right there for me. If he just drops one of those every once in a while, who knew that story? We knew the background between those two guys, but Clayton walking into the locker room the late two, and seeing that, and then Dade County Police were kind of breaking it up.
The two,
wow.
The two, before we move on, we got a bunch of Dolphin stuff I want to get to here, but the two most openly confident guys that I ever play with, you want to call it cocky, you want to call it, you know, Dan Marino and Mark Clayton. Okay. Openly walked it, talked it in the huddle. Like, I mean, it's one thing to be cocky, you know, when you're walking around off the field, but you're in a huddle and you've got that, like, and you listen to that conversation, you're like, no one ever believed this.
Right.
Playing
right.
Against other professionals. There's no way. These two are talking like this. There's no way they're going to go out and do this.
It's not hard to believe those two guys.
Yeah, no, yeah. Now that you kind of know a little bit about them.
Right.
Hey, so the other thing is yesterday, practice two that I got to see, the first 30 minutes or so after stretching and warming up, they got into 7-on-7 and 1-on-1. And Tua, I don't know what happened in the bubble because I got kicked out once the lightning and thunder with most of the media people that weren't protocol, had the right tier of protocol.
Right.
Which meant, I guess, more
tier.
Testing.
Yeah.
So anyway, he looked really good, man. He dropped all his deep passes in on both sides, 1-on-1, made some really good throws on post pattern, square ends on.
Did someone tell ESPN and NFL Network?
Well,
why isn't it on the front page of the ESPN today?
You know how this works.
Only when it's bad, not when it's good.
You know how this works. And actually, you know, so last night they go, hey, were you at practice? I go, yeah, I only got to see the first 30 or 40 minutes, but he looked really good. There's no pass rush, but there's never a pass rush for 7-on-7, 1-on-1. So I say he's drawn back, and I said, man, he right off the bat I get there, he hits Jakeem Grant on a takeoff and, you know, got a step on it, just puts it in stride, and then he throws one to the other side in stride. He just looked really good, and then – apparently had some good stuff inside as well. And listen, every throw is getting critiqued off. You can have a breakdown of it. And Omar Kelly's going to join. That's right. Omar Kelly's going to join.
How about that?
At 8 o'clock. We got Omar back. First time in a year.
Wow.
Off double secret probation.
That's
to come
amazing.
Back and join us today.
He made the tier? He made the right tier to come on?
He's in the right tier here at the radio station to join us today. And then the other story, because I know we won't get the reaction of what Tua did, whatever you thought yesterday when, you know, we went through that. And yesterday they got another practice. It's closed today. But this Xavien Howard situation, which I think I've been on for a couple months, was going to happen, has happened. It's going to get sticky, man. I don't think the third scenario is going to happen where he says, all right, I'm going to suck it up and show him this year. And then they said they'll do something for me next year if I play really well again. He's not going to do that.
No. When have you ever heard a guy really doing
never,
that? Come on.
Very seldom. Never. So this is going to come down to two things. The Dolphins are going to give him more money because he understands his importance coming off an all-pro year, 10 picks. Or they're going to trade him.
Well, God, I hope option B is not the one.
I don't think they'll go, well, because I always hear this, and I very seldom see teams do it. Well, you know what? We'll make you sit all year. See how you like that. No money, fine you, and we'll make you sit out all year because then he comes back, and you're going to have a disgruntled guy, and every time he's a little sore, he won't play, or those kind of things happen. So I really do believe this is going to go. And by the way, we're already in the middle of June, so it's not that far away. We're talking in the next 5 to 6 weeks, we're going to know something here, and it's going to be one of two things. The team's already had to talk about this, and it's been written by everybody now, like, you should have known when you gave Byron Jones that 5-year, $82 million. And I've heard both sides now. I've listened last night and talking. I get both sides. I do. And whatever side you're on, I'm just breaking it down. Byron Jones was the top cornerback free agent in the market 2 years later. So that's the way the money was
right,
going.
Right.
These contracts are outdated after 1 year usually. So he got it. And the Dolphins are going, we just gave you a new contract. There's 4 years left and you want another one after we gave you a lot of money up front. And you're already asking for more. And so it's going back and forth. And X-Man, his agent, David Cantor, is saying, well, wait a second. You blitz as much as you blitz last year to have that success because you trusted your two corners.
Right.
And I had 10 picks and he had two. So all those things that come into play when they go back and forth on this and talk, if they're going to be talking. But we're going to have one of two things. It's real simple. He's either going to have a trade coming out here once he realizes the Dolphins tell him, we're not negotiating, you need to show up. If they do that nicely, I don't know how you do that nicely.
Wait,
I don't know if there's
that,
a nice
right?
way.
And the then, card?
And then through David Cantor, X-Man will say, I want to be traded. And, you know, and then the Dolphins have to be prepared for a big old drop-off at that position,
Oof.
Which none of us want to see.
I no. mean,
he was clearly our best player, which means most likely – Oh, Igbinoghene is going to have to step up and be a starter or put one of those other veterans. But I got to tell you, this ain't playing a slot. This is playing big boy. You're going against one or the two receiver every game. And in a lot of cases, no safety in the middle of the field. It is all out, and you're on your own, man. On every route they run, you got man-to-man coverage. Anyway, we got to go to break here. 7 o'clock hours come up. We'll jump more on that. Get your thoughts. 305-567-0560. So stay with us. We'll be talking a lot more about that with the two big things going on at Dolphins camp plus some other news going on, including apparently the Kardashians have not affected one man. We'll tell you about that story coming up as well. But I got to tell you about sports-related injuries, man. I hate talking about them. But it sure is nice to know that when you do get injured, we got one of the top sports medicine programs in the United States here. You notice I didn't say locally. I mean one of the best anywhere. When you go down there, and I can't say there's tennis players that are there getting their knees fixed. And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. And you see athletes from other teams, not just the fact that the Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables and a big part of Baptist Health, is one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. So when people ask me, well, just locally, if they're so good, who do they take care of? I go, well, Inter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins. And the truth be known, everybody else wants to be with them too because they're really good at what they do. The doctors they have put together, I'm talking about lots of experience and some of the tops in their business. And their specialties like Achilles and knee and shoulder, ankle, back, hip and knee replacement, even hand specialist. And then it's not just that. It doesn't stop there. No, we got in-house physical therapy to get you back out playing the sports you love the most. That's what it's all about. In Broward County, listen up. We got a brand new facility right off 595 in Pine Island. Just opened a few months ago where all those great doctors are working out of, because a lot of the teams are up in Broward County. So it only makes sense they're up there and they've got time to see you too. So visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today. One goal, get you back out playing the sports you love the most.